All right. Well, while they're finishing up, if you'd like to go to Luke 2, let's go over to the Christmas story. Thank you, Jesus. John, can we get a little air? I think the 30-degree weather is gone. Thank you, Lord. Yes, praise the Lord. We're glad it's gone. We're Texans. And we're happy about that. Praise God. Luke 2:1. You're going to like this today.
Amen.
It's going to be fun. It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. And Joseph went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in a manger, because there was no room in the inn. Not because they didn't have any money. There was no room over at the Hampton or the Marriott. Now, I'm thinking about someone who is 9 months pregnant and they're riding a donkey. Now, how many people in here have experienced the 9th month of pregnancy? Just wave at me. Thank you, gentlemen. The men raised their hands too. Yeah, we experienced it. Sure did. But how many of you traveled on a donkey at 9 months? But aside from being pregnant and donkeys, how many of you have ever been a weary traveler? Ever been a weary traveler and you can't find a place to stay? So, you know, in the early 2000s, we lived in Chicago. And so being from Texas, you could just go out and get a room. When you traveled, you didn't even have to call and get a reservation. So we were on duty, and our duty was that we traveled from state to state, from town to town. We were employed by a place called Ameritech. It was the phone company. You know them as Bell. Okay. And so we had to find, we would go out, and our job was, because we were the only people in the company that they trusted, would keep our true hours. Long story, but we had to go out and find what you call a CO, and a CO is a central office. Anybody know what that is? You do.
I do.
So a central office is where all the phone lines run in from everywhere. Back then, before you had that wireless phone you have now. Okay. Everybody was hooked up to copper back then. Not even fiber, just copper. Well, actually, there were Project Pronto was going on. They were putting fiber in at the time that we worked for Bell. Okay, so we had to go from town to town, so we didn't call and get reservations. So there would be some nights, 3 o'clock in the morning, we're going from hotel to hotel to hotel, because life is different in the north. And we were weary. And not only that, we had 2 poodles with us. So you can't, then that knocks you out of 80% of the hotels right there. So you could get really, really weary when you can't find a hotel. Amen. So just think about the misery. Donkey, 9 months pregnant, weary. You want to go to sleep so bad, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. And then this particular person goes into labor. Now, how many of you have ever given birth in a stable? Nobody. So I think misery or miserable is a good word for this, to describe this. But did you know when she gave birth, everything changed?
Yes.
Think about it. She was delivered. And the baby was delivered. Both. The Bible says she was delivered. Yeah, you know, you're delivered. Yeah, amen. I remember that. I really wanted to be delivered. I remember going to the window and praying, oh, God, get this baby out of here. Amen. Well, anyway, so she was she was delivered, and shortly after that, a celebration started. Do you realize that there are so many Christians that right now, they're in misery? People in the world are miserable. Christians are miserable. And they stay in misery for many years of their lives. For one reason or another, they'll just stay in misery. A lot of people just live with these haunting memories of Christmas past. Remember when it was good and now so-and-so's gone, or I don't have this, or I don't have that, and now it's not good anymore, and they're suffering. And it's true. I'm not making light of that or trying to be sarcastic. It really happens to people, and I feel for them. You know, some people, once their spouse dies, or a close friend, or their mama, or something is gone, that first Christmas is gripping. You know, when someone leaves you, now we're here, we're focused on heaven. We know that Daddy went to heaven. We know that Daddy's there. We know these things. We cry because we miss them. We cry because it hurts not to be with them. But we don't cry over the tragedy of death. And we have to get past crying over those holidays. Because if we don't, we're making Christmas all about us. I remember the last Christmas with my daddy. It was a long time ago. I was only 30 years old when he went to heaven. And so I remember the last Christmas over at Sissy's house, and we all went over there and we're all together, and it was the last time. And I miss my dad. But I haven't spent years. I just think about, I will be with him again. And so I have to go ahead and take the runway here and do what I need to do here. And I don't know, you can call me goofy if you want to, but I'm one of those people who'll say, Lord, tell Dad I said Merry Christmas.
Oh yeah.
Lord, just tell my mama I said Merry Christmas. Tell Mama and them. Mm-hmm. Tell Mama and them I said Merry Christmas. So we went to Mama's house at Christmas time. Praise the Lord. But you know, it hurts. I'm not saying it doesn't hurt, but you can come out of misery.
Yeah.
Yes. Amen. Church, you don't get over people ever, but you learn how to live, and you learn how to live for them. Mm-hmm. I still love my first boyfriend, my true love, but I don't. I learned how to live without him a long time ago. I'm going to be glad to see him. He's really cute. Praise the Lord. But we learn how to move forward and take the steps and allow Holy Spirit to help us. Amen. I got to get down the line here, but I really feel like I need to say that. God will help us. And we don't want to make Christmas all about us. I'm going to have a really bad Christmas. Let's see, there's a song about that. Blue. I'm not going to have a blue Christmas. My daddy wouldn't like that. Nor would Jonas or Pastor John or anybody else that has been real dear to me. Sherry, those that have gone on, Sandy. I mean, it hurts that they're not here with us, but I'm going to celebrate knowing they're just on the other side. And then there are other reasons why people are miserable at Christmas, you know, no finances, things like that. Hadn't worked out yet the way they want it to. You're like, Pastor, you're taking a long time on the negative side. I'm almost done. But I just want you to know, because you're probably not in these ranks because you're having a happy Christmas, but there are people who don't. But they do need to come on through.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. So I'm going to give you some help on how you can help them. Now, first of all, it's not what you know. It's not what they need. It's what they'll receive. So don't go over to Aunt Ethel's house and say, listen, come here, Aunt Ethel. I'm going to tell you something right now. You need to straighten up. See, that's not going to work. But you know when you can move in, when the Holy Ghost has shown you.
That's right.
Now also there's these so-called righteous people who put their foot down and they say, Christmas, you know, we are not going to make Christmas about getting gifts. Well, Jesus was a gift. And Christmas is about gift giving. And you don't have to go crazy, or you can. We just do, but about it. We like it. I'm running out of things trying to think of, Debbie and Debbie are trying to figure out what will she give that grandchild this year? Because they just can't think of what. Well, I came up with something. Praise the Lord. But, he came up with it actually. But, you know, but gift giving is a good thing. Even the smallest thing. Gifts are good. Words are good. That's why I want to do that for the kids tonight. I want to give you this and tell you who you are, because you are the light of the world.
Amen.
And we're going to give them this too. You're the light of the world. You're important to us. We want you to have words. The words are more important than the gifts. Well, for me, they are. But the gifts are good too. So I think we need to maybe get it out of our minds that gift giving is just the commercialized part of God. The Magi came with gifts. They came with gifts. It's Bible. God sent a gift. It's Bible. So we can just move on past that. And, you know, it doesn't have to be that a born-again believer is miserable or greedy or suffering through Christmas. Because we're celebrating the anointed one. He came to earth as a baby, but he's going to come back as the King of Kings. Amen. Anyway, it seems to me that there are people now, and I talk to them. I understand. I see it. They're like this. They're like, help, I'm miserable and I can't get out. So where do you start working with people like that? What do you do? Well, you know, I like Dee's answer. Just get over yourself and come on. Because we're somewhat alike about that. But there is more. There's more you can do. But one of the things you do is you keep teaching. And if you can't teach the people, send them to a teaching. So that they start knowing how to use their faith. How to stand in faith. How to live and walk in love. And stop being like Ahab and Jezebel. Pouting and trying to finagle. Okay, I'm not going there. Praise the Lord. But a lot of times, you know, people just need to get up and go try the door. You know what I mean? Just get up and go try the door. Just come into a place. We're living at the miracle of the door for more. Some people think, well, if there's just not an out and out miracle, nothing's going to happen for me. I've been waiting on God for 20 something years. He ain't done anything yet, but we're just a waiting on him. How long are you going to do that? Get up there and open the door. Get up there and say, Lord, I received something from you. I'm planting my seed and I'm receiving. I'm going to move forward. I'm going to start saying the right words. I'm going to learn when to be quiet and when to talk and not have to spill out my emotions every day. This is getting better than what I wrote it down at. Because, you know, when you just have to tell every person your emotions and how you feel about something, you're just worrying out loud. Just worrying out loud. Just go on. How about just glory to God? Things are good. I planted my seed, the words in my heart. God has taken care of this, and all I have to do is look out and watch for the answer to come.
Yes.
And it's not going to be hooves on the roof either. I don't know, if Kurt Russell came to Santa, I might want to. Praise the Lord. All right, now, so, listen, you remember when Jesus was sleeping in the back of the boat? The storm came? So he's sleeping and they're mad. Lord, I'm having a bad Christmas and you're sleeping through my storm. A lot of people think that. Was it God just sleeping through my storm? But Jesus had something else going on there. He was asleep because the world he was living in had no storms. And so he spoke out from the world he was living in and the storm stopped. And that's where we want to get to. We want to get to that place where we've got storm stopping ability. And the way you're going to get to it is if you do it on the inside first. But you're not going to do it on the inside first without believing the word and standing on the word and confessing the word. You can amen here all day long, but if you go out of here and start all your stuff up over again. That's right. Self-inflicted, Larry. Self-inflicted. You're just moving right into it. Because God isn't doing it. Ooh, it got quiet in here. He was living in a world that had no storms. He just got up and spoke. So he's demonstrating what it's like to be seated in heavenly places. Amen. And see, the peace that enabled him to rest in the middle of the conflict became the very substance that he released to still the storm. It's the very substance of it. Mm-mm. We're not going into a Christmas storm. No. Uh-uh. Nope. No variant for us. We're living in Psalm 91. We're blessed. No lack for us. We're living in it. Would you really think you can live that way? Don't think it, know it, do it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you. So we need to note here that what's ruling on the inside of us affects the outside. This is the same thing I've been telling you for all these years. The same thing. Whatever's on the inside is on the outside. If you're worrying on the inside, sooner or later it'll come out your mouth. If you're trying to control on the inside, sooner or later it'll come out your mouth. If you're settled and you're in the rest, it'll come out your mouth. I can't tell you the people that have called me and said, I need counseling. I need you to talk to me. I've got to talk to you. And then by the time church was over that day, they're like, never mind. You answered all my questions. Because the word changes people. We don't really have to have very many counseling sessions. Because when you learn how to change your inside, your outside will change. Things will begin to flow. If there's a jam log, It's either on the inside or in the mouth. And they're both hooked up together. So praise the Lord. Okay. Let's start finishing up here. Go to Luke 2:8. Praise God. I heard one Bible turn. Thank you, Lord. But everybody's going to get one of these and bring it to church. And I mean, phone's okay, but you can't leave your phone to your grandchild. You need to be able to mark one of these up. Mm-hmm. So, and there are things that you can write in here that'll help you translate and meditate. That's right. I like to circle everything, mark everything, because then I can go in and say, oh, I saw that. Oh, here's a rise, shine. First and foremost, get yourself to another level. Oh, well, the glory will rise upon those who arise. Oh, praise the Lord. You can just preach out of your own Bible all the time. That's amen. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Anyway. Luke 2:8, and in the same country there were shepherds living in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came on them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were grievously afraid. And the angel said to them, do not fear, for behold, I give you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For to you is born today in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Translate, meditate. And this is a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now, when something happens in your life, you respond. One angel spoke, and then all these other angels bust through into the atmosphere, and they started responding. And then as we go here, we're going to see some other people. But most of you have been the eyewitness to something unusual or something happening, and everybody has a story to tell about an event. You know, she knocked a hole in the wall, and there was a whole little apartment on the other side. Some of y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. Okay, so, and then each person told the story, and it got different. You know, or you saw the wreck. Well, I can tell what happened. That guy pulled out in front of that guy, and da 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 da. And you knew the event. You knew what happened. Or you went to some great concert or something, and Martina McBride walked out and shook hands with people in the audience, and it impressed you that she would do that, or something of that kind, or, you know. Praise the Lord. You know what I'm saying. Don't you have one? Can you think of one? Yeah. Or the moment you got your dog back?
Yeah.
After, how long was she gone?
17 days.
17 days and she came back. They got her back. Yeah. We did not budge off our confession one time about that dog. And here she came. Praise the Lord. You think about all those, see, you, and we've had some instances at the staff where something would come in and we go, don't say another word about it. It's done.
Yep.
And sure enough, later on it would show up, it'd be done. Yep. Well, amen. But then there's things that you tell what happened. Well, we saw, you know, da da da, and it happened. Praise the Lord. That buck walked right out there in front of me. I'd say he was only 30 yards away. And he had a fishing pole with a big fish this big. Oh, no, those are two different stories. What? Oh, yeah. He was in the boat. He was driving a boat. There you go. You know the story. Me and Deb are driving down the road. I'm bound and determined to see a moose. We're driving down the road. I'm like, I'm going to see a moose. I am good. Lord, thank you for that moose. I said, Deb, let's just go a little further north. We're in North New Hampshire. Let's just go a little further. Lord, I believe I received that moose. Here comes the moose walking out on the road. Right on the highway.
And then stood there for a little while and turned around so you could get a different view.
She just proved my point. Did you see that? She just told the event. That's what was happening here. These shepherds were ready to go tell the event. They were responding. They were responding. They were going to go tell the event. Amen. Eyewitnesses. When I first saw my grandchild, I cried like a baby. Right there in the hallway. When I first found out God was good, I wanted to tell the whole world. I set out to tell the whole world is good. I'm working on it.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. You know, when Moses saw that burning bush, he didn't go over there and go, pretty cool, burning bush. I got to get on home. The shepherds are playing the Giants at one. He responded to the burning bush. Took shoes off, went over there and said, what's going on? And I am began to talk to him. You know who I am is? Big Lord.
Wow.
Translate, meditate. Praise the Lord. So they responded. Now, you didn't have to prod the shepherds. They weren't going, man, we're warm by the fire. There were all these angels and everything. No, they got up and took off to go find the baby. And then after they went to see Jesus, they were like, we're going to tell everybody. We're just going to tell everybody. Everybody's going to know about this. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it went all over the place. The Christ, the King of the Jews, is born. They were excited about it. This wasn't an ordinary event. Countless numbers of holy messengers are all over the place. The sky's open with the glory of God. They're singing praises to God. I mean, this is a big thing going on out in the field.
Yeah.
We don't know how long that lasted. Maybe it was brief. But as soon as they were done, shepherds jump into action. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. They understood that they received a word from God and that the reality was that the Messiah was born. And you know what they responded with? Great joy. They responded with great joy. Joy is deeper than happiness. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Joy stays even in a bad situation. And I bet you've heard this before. Did you know that if the devil can't steal your joy, he can't steal your goods? Brother Jerry. Think about it. If you face a situation and you begin to rejoice in God instead of throwing a fit or pouting or getting depressed about it, if you just come up in the presence of God and say, you know what, Lord, praise God anyway. I'm just going to praise God. And you start praising God, things will turn around. The rabbis, when they don't know the answer to something, they step back and start dancing. That's what they do. Praise the Lord. Joy is a spiritual force. It'll push you into doing great things. And it'll put the enemy in such a turmoil that they don't know how to handle you. Joy is something that we can have every day, and we can live it over and over, and we can live being born again over and over and over. Bless God, I'm alive on the inside. Born again. Nothing dead in here. I'm alive. She's alive. Okay, praise the Lord. So, the angels declared, behold, I bring you great tidings. I have not come to declare the judgments of the Lord. I've come with great tidings.
Oh, wow.
They didn't come saying, y'all gonna get judged now. No, that's not what they said. Said great, they came with good tidings of a merciful, loving, kindness, hesed type God. Apparently there's a normal joy and a great joy. The Bible has much to say about joy. It's our strength. It's a reward. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. It was a reward to Jesus. He was going to have the joy of receiving you into the kingdom. Amen. So as we celebrate the birth of Jesus, we rejoice. And if God meets those who rejoice, according to the scripture, Isaiah 64:5 says, you meet him who rejoices. I'm sorry, I'm not quoting it right. You meet him who rejoices. God will take over. He'll meet you. If you rejoice, God shows up. He's like, I'm coming to the party, guys. You start rejoicing, I'm going to be there with you. In heaven, when one person starts rejoicing, everybody starts partying. Everybody. They all, either they're falling down on their faces, worshiping God, or it just spreads. Kind of like it does at Victory Church. We start getting excited. One person gets excited. Everybody gets excited.
Yeah. Amen.
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 We rejoice here. And we're going to rejoice. We're going to rejoy. Jump up, spin around, and shout. That's what rejoice is. We're going to rejoice that Jesus has come to the earth, changed everything, died for you, rose again, sent you the Holy Ghost, and now today you can enjoy Christmas. I don't care what's going on. Yeah, but you don't know what's going on. Shake that stuff off, church. You're going to have your way. 2022 is all about you, says the Lord. And you'll say right back to him, oh no, Lord, it's all about you. Yeah. Won't you?
Yeah.
But everything he does is about you. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we're going to rejoice. Sometimes you just need to practice on rejoicing. But we're going to expect a trouble-free Christmas. Everything's going to work at your house. Everything's going to work at Springgate. Everything's going to work at this building. Everything's going to work where you're going. Your car's not going to fall out. Your plane's going to get there and get back. Whatever it is you're doing, if any of you are flying. Those of you that are staying here, it's going to be a good Christmas here.
Yeah.
I mean, after all, you live in the hill country. Praise the Lord. So it's going to be good. There's so much to rejoice about. And, you know, this one last thing I want to say to you. Joy is an overcoming force. It's an overcoming force. So if you're going to overcome, you're going to have a little joy.